Good morning, saints. It's an honor to address you today. My name is Larry Paladin, Jr. I always say Jr. to differentiate myself from all the other Larry Paladins whom, if you haven't met, you need to meet because you can never have enough Larrys. And I want to thank Pastor Nick for letting me speak to you today. I appreciate the work you do, Pastor, as our campus pastor. And yes. And I appreciate you letting me speak today. Someone said this morning that they were very excited to hear me speak or to hear what I had to say. And I said, I have a lot of things to say, and some of them are actually worth hearing. But what we want today is for our God to show up. Because we want to hear what he has to say. Today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is one of those church events that everybody that's been around the church has heard about. For those of you who are looking for palms in the lobby today to pick up and take home, I asked Pastor Rick if we would have palms, and he said, I was welcome to have palms here if I would find them and pay for them. We don't have any palms here. But Palm Sunday, we hear about, we see palms around, but no matter how much we know of the story, we need to remember what the real story is. We need to remember how important it is. When you see a friend you haven't seen in a long time, you usually want to catch up and renew that relationship, renew, and remember the good times. So I want you today to help walk with me through Palm Sunday and what it means in the Christian church. Palm Sunday is an event that is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. All four of the Gospels. You say, well, that's cool. What's a gospel? The Gospels are four books in the Bible that talk about what Jesus did. And remember, the word English word Bible means book. That's why your Bible on the back probably says Holy Bible, because it is the holy book. It is the book from God talking about God. But all four of these stories include Palm Sunday. Now, when you read your Bible, it probably has a caption at the top called something like the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We call it Palm Sunday because that just rolls off the tongue a lot better than the triumphal entry into Jerusalem Sunday. But we are remembering what occurred this day. I want to put it in context of the week. In some church traditions, in some church calendars, this week is called Holy Week because really important things are celebrated and remembered and commemorated during these next 8 days, culminating in next Sunday. But today, we don't know precisely what day Jesus entered Jerusalem. Today, we are acknowledging and celebrating it. And on Sunday, today is Palm Sunday, which is on a Sunday. And we are remembering when Jesus entered Jerusalem. And Jesus was in Jerusalem until he was murdered just outside of Jerusalem. And during Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Jesus was teaching, he was speaking to people, he was with people, helping them, trying to help them understand who God was and what God is like. On Thursday, we often call it Holy Thursday. Some church traditions call it Maundy Thursday. And as a young man, I thought the Presbyterians were a little confused to celebrate Monday, Thursday. Like, those are two different days. I don't know what problem you've got. But that is the day that we remember the Last Supper. The Last Supper that Jesus had with the disciples. Friday, we remember Good Friday. It's hard to celebrate Good Friday because it is so sad. And we remember and commemorate the loss that Jesus suffered, the pain that he endured, the death that he went through. We remember those things on Good Friday. On Saturday, sometimes called Holy Saturday, it is also Passover. Some of us will be celebrating Passover on Saturday, but it's the time that we remember things from the Old Testament. And it appears that Jesus was celebrating Passover at the Last Supper. And I'm going to try to tie those together as we continue to walk through. And after Saturday comes Sunday, which is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, the time that we remember that he rose from the dead. So I want you to catch this whole week in perspective. The whole week in perspective. Now, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, well, let's start in Matthew. We're going to be using the passage in Matthew, basically, for our teaching this morning. Matthew 21, verse 1. And it starts off, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage to the Mount of Olives," Jesus was approaching Jerusalem. And he wasn't in Jerusalem yet, but he was in the little towns near it. We hear about the Mount of Olives later in the discussion of Holy Week. But right now, Jesus is outside of town. He's actually on the other side of the hill, approaching town. He's coming down Green Tree Hill. And he stops. Now, I want you to catch what was going on in Jerusalem at this time. Passover was coming. You see, there was no Good Friday yet. But there were a lot of people in town because it was Passover. Now, what's Passover? I'm going to give you a 48-second summary of a four-hour teaching on Passover. So hang on to your seats. In the Old Testament, way back in the Old Testament, after God had called the Jews to be a nation, they ended up in slavery for 400 years. Yes, I'm old. I am not 400 years old. They were in slavery for a long time. And then they cried out and said, "God, deliver us." I hope that when you're in trouble, it doesn't take you 400 years to ask for help. But they cried, and God says, "I hear them, and I'm going to send Moses to them." Moses, who was a Jew, came to the Jewish people in slavery. And as God's appointed man, Moses kept confronting Pharaoh, who was the boss that they were slaves to. And Pharaoh just had a hard time letting go. And so God would send problems to the nation. We call them the plagues. They'd get a bunch of frogs. They'd get lice. They'd get darkness. They had all kinds of problems. 9 times, and Pharaoh said, "Nope, we're going to keep the Jews here. We like them. They work hard." And then God came up with number 10. Plague number 10 was that the angel of death was going to come and was going to kill the firstborn in each family. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a firstborn, and that does not sound like a good idea. But God made a way for the Jewish people, for the people that followed him. And he said, "Here's what you're going to do when the angel of death comes. On the 10th day of the month, I want you to go get a lamb. And on the 14th day of the month, at sunset, I want you to slaughter the lamb, cook it, and eat it. But take the blood. Take the blood. Take a weed, a fuzzy weed, and smear the blood on the doorpost of your house and on the lintel across the top, all around your doorframe. And then stay in the house." God said, "I will not come in and cause death in that house because we'll see the blood." The people did that. They stayed inside. Everybody that did that was protected. Pharaoh said, "That's enough. Let the Jews go." So with that sacrificial lamb, they were delivered from death and delivered from slavery. And this, God said afterwards, "Okay, guys, this feast right now, you're going to celebrate every year. You're going to keep celebrating this. And when you celebrate it, you're going to remember what I have done. Remember what I have done. Exodus chapter 12, verses 14 through 15. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you will keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You will keep it as a feast. For 7 days you will eat unleavened bread. I'm not going to deal with the unleavened bread today, but that's a really cool part of the story. And I encourage you strongly to read the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, that'll tell you about what happened. And that is the Passover, because the angel of death passed over them. To be part of the Passover, they needed a lamb who died and whose blood was used to warn the angel of death, stay away from here. And then everybody had to stay in that protected place. Everybody that did it was saved. Everybody that didn't had death in their house. Are you catching what Passover is? So, Passover, it appears that Jesus was celebrating Passover on Thursday of our week, but on, you're supposed to get the lamb 10 days before, or 4 days before Passover? So Jesus is coming in on Sunday. Everybody is looking for a lamb that they need 4 days later when Passover comes. Imagine for a minute, every one of you in your household, you are cooking Thanksgiving dinner. Do or die, you're cooking Thanksgiving dinner. What are you looking for before Thanksgiving dinner? Turkey. You really want a turkey. You desperately want a turkey, or at least a chicken. Aren't too many folks that are happy with lasagna on Thanksgiving. I love lasagna, but not for Thanksgiving. Everybody here on Sunday, 4 days before Passover, was looking for a lamb. Now, who shows up? Let's go back to Matthew 21, verse 1. We're continuing with verse 1. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you will say, the Lord needs them. And he will send them at once. Now, I know some of you guys are thinking about borrowing a car that's not yours. You know, it worked for Jesus. If Jesus tells you go take somebody else's car, you might have an argument. But I want the notes from the conversation of you and Jesus. But think, Jesus sent two people. We do not know which of the disciples. Could be a couple of the big cheeses like Peter and John. Could be a few of the little cheeses like Peter the Lesser and one of the Judases. We don't know who he sent. But he said, do this, go into the city, and there's a donkey and a colt. You get them both together and you bring them back here. And if anybody asks you anything, just say, the master needs them. Even at this point, I would have been a little spooked with those instructions. But that is what they did. Continuing on to verses 4 through 5. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. We don't think of riding on a donkey as a big deal right now. Like, oh yeah, you rode on a donkey, huh? You want to ride in a BMW. But riding on a donkey was important, and we're going to look at that for a moment. But in Matthew, Matthew is referencing back to something said by the prophet Zechariah. Something said by the prophet Zechariah. Now, what's a prophet? A prophet is somebody who speaks for God. Zechariah was one of the prophets in the Old Testament, and most of the prophets talked about things happening then, but also things that were going to happen in the future. And Zechariah said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." He's mounted on a donkey. Riding on a donkey was a sign of a king. If you look back in 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'm giving you Bible history here without explaining all of it. The king David was going to die, and he wanted to make sure that the right son, he had a bunch of sons, separate issue, he wanted to make sure the right son became king. And so he said to the priest, "Go and get my donkey. And you put Solomon on my donkey and you take him through the streets. Everybody knows he's the one I picked." Riding on a donkey was referring to how a king acted. How a king acted. So Jesus is coming into town. Donkeys are extremely sure-footed. They're not as strong as a horse, but they're very intelligent. They tend to be patient. This was a big deal. Jesus said there's a donkey and a colt. A colt is the male child or the descendant of a donkey that hadn't been ridden on yet, hadn't been used yet, a young one. And where Zechariah says the foal of a donkey, the foal of a donkey is the male offspring of a donkey. So this is what he sends these people after. So these two disciples, I don't think they were clear on what was going on, except they were supposed to go get something for Jesus. And they didn't want to go back to Jesus and say, "I don't know what you were saying. I couldn't find it." So they got together and got the foal of a donkey, a colt. A colt, remember, hadn't been ridden on. So Jesus is coming into town in a way that had been prophesied. He is coming in. "Behold, your king is coming to you." Jesus is coming in using the prophecy that he was a king. He is a king. This is all done to weave together what God said to the Jews in what we call the Old Testament or the First Testament, and what God was instituting in what we call the New Testament. Because it's hard to understand all of Christianity without understanding what God did in the Old Testament. We've got a procession going on. Going back to Matthew, chapter 21 still, verses 6 through 8. "The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on the cloaks." He sat on them. "Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road." People are putting, now remember, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. Because it's the Passover, every male that could travel was supposed to be in Jerusalem, okay? This is a big crowd. And Jesus is traveling into Jerusalem. Why put down cloaks? There are references in the Old Testament to people putting down their coat underneath the king. But I want you to think for a minute. You're going to Jerusalem for the Passover. This is a big deal. What kind of clothes are you wearing? The old stuff that you mucked to the barn with? No, you got your best on. So you are looking cool, moving into Jerusalem yourself, and Jesus comes by, and you take off your coat, and you lay it down. for the donkey to walk on. Now, just think of people for a minute. If you want to impress folks with how you're dressed, you get stuff that you love and that costs you a few dollars. Right? You're not going to go down to Goodwill and say, well, this only has a few holes in it. You're going to get your best because you're being seen. People were laying down their best. And because of some people having more money than others, some of these are pretty sweet coats that were being laid down. But everybody was putting down their best. I don't want to have a donkey walk on my coat. It makes kind of a mess. And how do you get your coat back? You know, Jesus isn't the only one on the road. There's a lot of people behind him. Are you out there elbowing people saying, give me my coat back? No, people were willing to sacrifice and lay it down, laying down who they were and what they had.
That's good.
Saying that what I have right. is going to lay down in front of Jesus. Palm branches. Some of the other Bible passages specifically mention palms. Palms were often used in a sign of victory. There are other references in the Bible to using palms to reference victory. But Phyllis and I and my mother were at the flower show this week, and I was absolutely shocked at the number of palms there are. There are a bazillion different kinds of palms, but these are laid down. Palms are also mentioned specifically in the Old Testament. We talked about the Feast of Passover. There's also the Feast of Booths. We're not going to talk about that one today. But in the Feast of Booths, you build a booth, a house, a tent to live in, to remind the people that they were wandering before and now they have a home. And it specifically talks about using palms there. And they were cutting these and laying them down to make a nice road for Jesus to enter in. People were sacrificing. People were welcoming Jesus. And in verse 9, and the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. The Son of David, the Messiah, was going to be a son of King David, a descendant of King David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. People have heard the word Hosanna. Sounds pretty nice. You can make a lot of little tunes about Hosanna. What does it mean? What does it mean? It's mentioned about six times in the New Testament, but it comes from Psalm 118 in the Old Testament. Now, I want to talk about Psalm 118. Psalm 118, this was a book of songs, psalms, things you use to celebrate in God. And at the Passover, Psalms 113 through 119 are usually sung. So this verse was probably tickling around in a lot of heads. Verse 25 of Psalm 118, save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. That first phrase, save us, O Lord, in Hebrew is Hoshi'anu. Save us. What they're yelling, Hosanna, is just a transliteration of Hoshi'anu. Save us. Save us. Now, what did they want saved from? Remember, what were they celebrating? Passover. Passover, they celebrate that they were delivered from death and from slavery. Now, think for a moment. Who was in charge of Jerusalem at this time? Rome. Rome was not known for being kind and fuzzy. They were known for being harsh. So there was a foreign country, just like Pharaoh, ruling over the place, and they could be killed because they looked sideways at the wrong person. And they're yelling to Jesus, deliver us, deliver us. The Messiah is the one that comes to deliver. Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, and they were calling to him like this, using their coats. and the palms. There was a large crowd celebrating Jesus. Why were they celebrating Jesus? Well, Jesus was popular. If you see somebody popular, you might want to go see them. He was a healer. He healed my brother's friend's neighbor. He was a healer. He was also a good speaker, good public speaker. He was entertaining. You didn't have Netflix. Listen to a good speaker. And some of them were celebrating him as the Messiah, as Jesus the Christ. Going on in Matthew to verse 10. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Now, Jesus had lived in Nazareth, in Galilee. That's like saying you're from White Oak, Pennsylvania. And they called him a prophet. He was a prophet, but more than a prophet. He was the Messiah. He was the Messiah. People were still a little confused about who he was. Who is this guy really? I'm going to jump to Luke, one of the other Gospels. And this is recounting the entry into Jerusalem. And in Luke 41 and 42, Luke writes, "And when he," that's Jesus, "drew near to the city, he wept over it." He cried, looking at the condition of the city, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes." He wept over the people, saying, "You guys don't quite get it. You don't quite get it." The people of Israel were looking for someone to deliver them from death and slavery in this world, because that's what they were celebrating. That's what they knew. God doesn't always do the same thing the same way twice. And I don't think they, at least most of them, didn't catch that what he was going to do was deliver them from spiritual death and spiritual slavery. That's what our Jesus has offered to us. That is what he offered to us. All of these people were out hunting for their Passover lamb. And who comes in the door? But Jesus, the perfect Passover lamb. The perfect one. The Passover lamb had to be healthy and without anything wrong. Jesus had not done anything wrong. Jesus had faced every sin, every temptation, and had resisted them. Jesus had prayed. Jesus had followed his Father. Jesus was the perfect lamb, the perfect one. You're at the store, elbowing people out of the way so that you can get your turkey. And then you realize there's a guy in the parking lot trying to put a turkey into your car. That's what it's like. They're looking for what was in front of them, but they didn't quite grasp that God was doing the same thing in a different way. The same thing in a different way. And that's why Jesus cried. You don't quite get it. Because Jesus was here to suffer the sacrifice for us, that we could be delivered from the slavery of sin. Slavery of sin means that when sin tells you what to do, you do it. We can resist sin because we are freed from that slavery. Death comes for us all. The Bible tells us that death is the last enemy. The last enemy. Death will be defeated and crushed. And I wait that day. I long for it. But right now, as the disreputable musician once said, nobody gets out of here alive. But we can be delivered from that second death and from that slavery of sin because of Jesus the Lamb. Jesus the Lamb. We have several things coming up this week to commemorate the important things that we are facing. The first is we are going to commemorate, remember Good Friday. There are two things that the church is doing. Both are at the North Braddock campus. One is what we're calling the sacrifice. It is a representation of the things that Jesus suffered. There are pictures, there are items, there are creations reminding us of what Jesus suffered. There's also a service, a Good Friday remembrance time, where we remember what Jesus suffered, where we are reminded that he did that for me. And for you, and for each of us. It's a somber time. It's a sobering time. And I think of Good Friday being a time that we remember what Jesus did, his sacrifice that he gave for us. On your seat is an invitation with the details. I'll come back to the invitations in a minute. But I encourage you to be there to go through the sacrifice. And by the way, when you go through, this is not a time to laugh and slap your friends or your enemies. It's a time for you to think of what our God has done. Amen. For you. It's a time to think about us. On Saturday, not to celebrate Passover, but to celebrate Christmas, we're having an extravaganza. What did I say? Christmas. We're going to celebrate Christmas a different way. I always ask my wife to. That's right. I always ask my wife to sit in the front row so she can pick those things up when I say them, and I appreciate her love for me. We're going to have it for Easter. We'll do other things for Christmas, and if you really want eggs for Christmas, I'll see that you get them. This, the Good Friday we're doing to remind us of what God has done. Extravaganza we're doing to think of others. Kids love chocolate, candy, sweets, mints, all those things. This is a chance for them to hunt for eggs, big deal, and to open the eggs and eat all the candy before they go home. No, they don't have to eat all the candy. This is a time for us to reach the community, to touch the community, to let the community know that we are doing things to help people get together and have fun. The extravaganza is pretty good. And I encourage you to be there. Now, I asked my mother. She said, I'm too old to go hunt for eggs. But you can be there to watch the kids. And you can invite others and be there to be with them. On Sunday morning, we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday is for us to all look for what our God has done. You see, Jesus didn't just die, he arose again. That is what Christianity is about. Jesus, he died so that we are able to be with him. He rose again so that we know there is life coming. I know that's a commercial, but it's really important that you be there for these. And even more important that you bring others. Things that we are asking you to do this week. First is to read the Bible. Not just in general, but we have a reading list. Now, I'd like all of you to note this. You may not realize it, but this is an age test. If you are 40 years or older and know how to write, you should get out a pen and write it down on paper. If you're under the age of 40, you should take a picture with your electronic device that you can find again. Somebody told me at a service, take a picture of this, take a picture. So I took a picture. I have no idea where it is. That was years ago. It's probably somewhere. I want you to take this with you. Why should you take it with you? Because we are asking every member of the church to read these passages on these days. Why are we asking it? Because we need to remember that Palm Sunday, Easter week, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter are all a vital part of our faith. We all encountered Palm Sunday before, but I want us to think about what Palm Sunday really meant. Jesus, the perfect Lamb, coming into the city, and people acknowledging that he was really important. And Jesus saying, we don't quite get it. We don't quite get it. So these readings, as a church, the pastors and elders think this is really important. And I encourage you to say, they're even more important than the pastors have said. Second thing we'd ask you to do this week is to invite. Invite people. On your seat are invitations. These are not, we have one for the extravaganza. We have one that's Good Friday on one side and Easter on the other to make it easier. Invite people. Invite the people that are saying, what's all this fuss? Like they did in Matthew 21:10. And you can say, this is because Jesus is here. The invitations on your seat are not for you. I just invited you. They're for you to give to somebody else. And come with them. Come with them. On Easter Sunday, we're having three services, three experiences, three times to experience who God is. If you bring somebody, you might have to be here for two of those. And I have scientific proof that it won't kill you. Bring people in. But I want us to look back to Jesus weeping. I want us to look back to the people yelling, Hosanna, and not being quite sure what they were Hosanna-ing to. Jesus came to be the Lamb. And he's not just the Lamb that avoids death coming to your house tonight. He is the Lamb whose sacrifice allows you to avoid that spiritual death that is looming ahead for everybody that ignores him. Jesus came into Jerusalem not just to bring deliverance from slavery of the physical kind, but he did come to bring freedom from slavery to sin. Now, how do we get to be free from that second death? And how do we get to be free from that slavery? Jesus and the Gospels give us instruction on how to do that. John is one of the other epistles, one of the other Gospels, excuse me. John was with Jesus all the time, all during his ministry. And John wrote a book about it. And in chapter 1 of that book, John said, but to all who did receive him, did believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. How do you receive Jesus? Well, you let him into your house. Yeah. Jesus, you're a healer guy. You're a nice guy. Maybe you're a prophet. You've received, you've allowed him in. And if you also believe that he is the Christ, if you believe he's the Messiah, that's going to deliver you from slavery and death. If you believe that, you now have the right to become a child of God. Child of God. And in the book of Romans, St. Paul gives more detail on what that means. Romans was a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. And in chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, he said, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be saved from slavery. You'll be saved from death. If you confess with your mouth, you say the same thing as he's saying, Jesus is Lord and Jesus is the Christ, the one who delivers us. And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That is what we need to recognize the true Lamb that Jesus is. A final question for you. Are you willing to say, I've had Jesus come into my house. I learned a little bit about him. And I believe in him. Are you willing to confess, to say the true thing? And are you willing to believe in your heart that he rose from the dead? If you are, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Our God wants everyone to be delivered from slavery and delivered from death. Unfortunately, we have to get on the bus. We have to take the step of saying, Jesus is the Lord, and believing that he rose from the dead. Not done that before, this is an opportunity. And if it sounds interesting and you need more information, this is your opportunity. This is it, right now, right today. And I would ask, if you are saying, I believe and I want to be able to confess and believe the resurrection, now is the time to indicate that by putting your hand up and saying, me. I want delivered from death and slavery. Grab hold of this opportunity. We're not going to bring you up here and give you the mic to confess. We are going to give you that opportunity. Being here, and I pray that as you go throughout this day, you think of Palm Sunday and what does it mean? What does Passover mean, and what does the prophecy mean, and what does that procession mean? And is Jesus really my sacrificial lamb? Let us pray. Holy God, I thank you because you are the God that brings deliverance from death and slavery. God, may we remember and see Palm Sunday in a new and true light. May we honor your name and celebrate who you are in all that we do today and tomorrow throughout Holy Week, culminating in Easter celebration. In Jesus' righteous name, amen.